So, all right, it's gonna get started, guys. I guess so. We can have Pastor Mike lead us in prayer here.
Sure, Father, we just come together. We want to touch the things of your word together. We want to ask the things that you desire for us. And I'm grateful to be with the guys this morning. And I'm asking just your touch, God. Enlighten us, always enlighten us. And open my ears, Father, if there's something specific or, to the things that you can bring up. Lord, I do praise you because you speak through fallible men by your blood, and that's an amazing thing. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. But bless us today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right. Well, good morning, guys. New Life Assembly guys here. I'm not expecting this message to be very long, but just something that came to my heart, even as Pastor Mike was speaking Sunday, even just the whole like prayer for boldness, like the kind of like backbone. I remember that as he was speaking Sunday, and I kind of even just want that to kind of even like keep that in mind and color this message as I'm going through it today. You almost think of it as kind of like a prelude to what I'm speaking today, because it goes in line. But what it's something that kind of even just in my prayer life, just recently, just the whole issue of not just praying for boldness, but also that ability to pray, Lord, help me to be able to suffer and to be able to endure discomfort and things that are not feeling good for you, Lord. Just that prayer for Lord, help me to endure suffering and to be able to endure discomfort. And that's really the title of this message, is a prayer for enduring suffering. Even just the whole regard of even like the backlash that can come from the world, and ultimately that comes from the devil. So going to Matthew, I completely forgot where I didn't write down the chapter for this. But in Matthew, where it talks where he where Jesus is talking about the end, Matthew 24, I believe. Matthew 24.
That's the
Mount
I believe
of
you're right,
Olives.
buddy.
It's kind of interesting. He's talking on the Mount of Olives, and that's where he's gonna return
Oh,
when
yep.
he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives to split it apart, But Matthew 24:23. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of the wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." So even if you see in verse 13 here, the call of Jesus for us to endure to the end, and just the need for us to endure, it's a supernatural endurance that comes from the Spirit. It's not a human striving. I mean, you got all these things that can vex us. You got verse 6, you got the wars, rumors of wars, you got misinformation that's not, rumors of war, stuff where it's not even actually confirmed it actually even is a war. So you got all this misinformation and things going on that can trouble a person. Not things in the natural world, earthquakes, you got pestilences, diseases. And then you get the verse 9 here, the tribulations and how the people are going to rise up and actually hate you and really desire to kill you for representing Jesus. And you have the false prophets as well that are going to come and deceive, and the lawlessness that's abounding and the love of many waxing cold. But eventually the gospel must go through the entire kingdom. The whole issue, even if you, the default of you as a Christian is that you're going to be hated by the world. That's the default, you know, kind of status of the Christian, is that you will offend the world and they'll rise up. And you go to even verse 18, 19 of John 15, where Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of it, therefore the world hates you. So even remember that, just because of mere fact of you belonging to Jesus. And even, you know, you kind of wonder sometimes, you know, why don't we face, you know, much hatred, you know, in American Christianity, or it seems like we don't. We just have, like, you know, social ostracization and, you know, different, we are getting legal stuff. But, you know, sometimes I wonder, is because, you know, we're not really representing Jesus, not really being the person, you know, letting Jesus come through us as we should. So therefore the world doesn't really hate us because we're not actually representing Christ appropriately. Again, the world hating you is the norm, because the world hates Jesus. And even I don't want to get too, like, as I was coming here, you know, driving here, I was kind of thinking, something came to my heart, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Mike, and I don't want to get too political either, but obviously, you know, a lot of stuff going on with, you know, Israel and Hamas and all the stuff that's happening. And I don't know if you guys have felt this, but even kind of seeing the hatred, you know, sure, towards Israel.
Sure.
And I know I felt this, to where, you know, it's like, man, you kind of feel that hatred on you too, even as a believer. You kind of feel that hatred transferred over to you too. And you kind of wonder why. It's like, man, why do I feel this hatred from the world and it's directed toward Israel? And the reason is very simple, is because you're tied in with Israel. I don't know if you guys have kind of felt that too. And I'm not Jewish. I'm Gentile. But I am a believer. And as a believer, you're the wild olive branch tied into the natural olive tree. I think I'm butchering that verse here. So that kind of like trouble and that distress you're seeing that's coming towards Israel and toward the Jewish people, you might feel a bit of a backlash of that too, because you're tied in with Israel. There's something I kind of wanted to throw in there, because I kind of sensed that even as I was kind of going through. I was like, man, why do I feel that? Well, because you're tied in. The world and the devil hates the things of God, whether it's his people, whether it's, you know, you're a believer in Christ, and whether it's actually Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ. Even in Acts, where it talks about where the believers were asking for the Lord for boldness, that they may speak the word of the Lord, in Acts 4:29. Remember, it's boldness in the light of threats. It's not just boldness just for boldness. You know, it's boldness in the light of persecution and hatred. So a lot of times we think, you know, oh, you know, when you boldness, you know, it is, well, yes, but it's also, it's because you're confronting something that's going to require you to have supernatural courage, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't need it.
Right? You wouldn't need it without.
You need boldness unless it, you were threatened.
Yeah, unless, yeah, you were threatened.
Or scared or intimidated.
Or intimidated.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
And, you know, again, we have this illusion, I think, you know, oh, we live in America, you know, land of the free. We'll never be persecuted. We'll never go through hardships. You know, we're the isolationism. We're away. You know, we're away from the rest of the world. And again, I guess it's part of the message too. You know, a couple months ago, even before all the stuff that's going on, you know, right now in the world, you know, a couple months ago, I was on, of course, Instagram, right? You find my spiritual inspiration from Instagram. But I must have liked something on Instagram because it triggered this in the algorithm. I started getting these scenes, you know, those old historical pictures of people who were living their life before World War II in Europe. You know, they were living their life before, and you know, historical. I think some were kind of colorized, you know, some were like black and white, you know, kind of pictures of, you know, people living before World War II. And it was very interesting because, you know, these pictures, they show these people living in Europe in different countries and stuff, you know, going to the beach, going to class, living a normal life, peaceful life, not knowing that just a year later, war is going to break out. And war is going to break out in Europe. And then even less than a year later, or however the timing goes, some of those people in those pictures are going to actually be thrown into concentration camps. And I was looking at those pictures, and I was like, it's just a surreal kind of thing, because it's like you're seeing them, and in the moment in the picture, they're not thinking anything's going to happen a year later. You know, they're thinking things are just going to continue as is. And it kind of reminds me, I think I told Josh about this, like, you know, I remember we were talking once on the phone about this whole issue of, like, anything can happen. I mean, overnight, anything can happen, really.
Sure, always.
And don't think that for whatever reason that Christians can't be, something can't be pinned on Christians. Something can be, you know, that they can't be targeted for something. Or, you know, and actually face actual persecution. Because right now, I mean, we have the social ostracization. You know, again, we do have legal stuff, you know, that happens. But in America, we don't face it like, you know, like in other countries where people can actually get their property bombed, stolen, or people can actually get killed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to use, like, you know, fear tactics or sensationalism, or, you know, trying to do a YouTube video where, yeah, this is going to be happening, I said this vision or whatever, or prophetic word, or I got this, I'm going to put a YouTube video. I'm not trying to be like that.
Sure, sure.
I'm just trying to say that anything can happen. You don't know. You know, you have to just trust the Lord with the future. Really, I'm ultimately trying to remind you that this world is not our home. I mean, this world, I mean, again, you got the rumors of wars, you know, you got all this disorder going on. Ultimately, this world is not our home. We're looking to the eternal home, and ultimately looking to be with Jesus.
Right.
And, you know, as I was preparing this message, you know, I was kind of I confess, you know, it was a difficult, short message, but a bit of a difficult message, because as a teacher, you know, you're speaking truth, and, you know, the word of God is a two-edged sword, you know, it not only cuts the person you're speaking to, but it also cuts you too, you know, and it cuts back on you as a teacher, and it's like, man, you know, if something were to break out, like, Lord, am I ready to face something like that, you know, actual, you know, things. And it kind of reminded me, Pastor Mike, I remember you were speaking about, you know, how sometimes, you know, you preach a particular message and you'll be like duck or something, or you'll be like, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember something.
Yeah,
I think you
sure,
talking about,
sure. No, I know exactly.
Or it's like, man, you speak certain things and it's like, Lord, I'm not sure, you know, you kind of humble, it kind of humbles you, you know, and it kind of makes you sober and like, just makes you realize, like, Lord, where am I really at in my walk? But then as I was kind of thinking about that, you know, these verses came to my mind, two verses, which are kind of, and they're kind of going along with the same, you know, same theme. First Corinthians 15:31, Paul speaking, you know, I affirm that by the boasting in which in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. So Paul there, where he's talking about that he dies daily to Christ. And you know eventually what happened to Paul, you know, down the road. He got jailed and eventually martyred.
Yep, in Rome, lost his head.
And Luke 9:23, Jesus speaking, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So it's a daily thing, and follow me. And really, you know, because I know, again, us Christians, we're either like deluded by peace times, or we're so hyper focused, you know, on like end times that we think we need to go get like a bunker or something, and we think, oh, persecution, you know, we're gonna, and you have the classic, you know, 90s, end times movies and all those kind of things that a lot of times us Christian can hyper focus on those things, you know. But really, you as a believer, we're supposed to die daily. We're supposed to die daily. I die to ourselves and living unto Christ. And really, that dying daily, if something were to come later down the road, you know, persecution, martyrdom, or whatever, really, that's just an extension of you dying daily because you're already dead in Christ. And if someone were to come through and like be like, hey, deny Christ or die,
sure.
Well, really, you've already died daily to Christ, you know. But the moment you're born again, when that comes, that's actually just an extension of that, really. And notice even too the whole, you know, like if anyone desires to follow him. So this is not optional. This is not something where a Christian could be like, oh, you know, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to die. No, it's anyone who follows Christ has to go through this whole daily dying, you know, and it's also taking up your cross daily, you know. And you remember, someone who's on the cross, or someone who's carrying a cross, their fate is pretty much sealed at that point. It's not like they're going to be getting out of that situation. They're carrying their cross and they're going to die, you know, so it's not like they're gonna find an escape out of that. Even going to, you know, what some, I know Pastor Mike, you were giving some of these texts, you know, the text throughout the week.
Oh yeah, I went on a text and, happy street.
Yeah, and I can't remember if I don't know if this was your words or from the book you were reading, but saying how Jesus walks among us and next to us, the real need is us submitting to his plan daily.
That was my quote.
Okay. So as to both sense his nearness and to realize we are not alone. A daily, this taking up your cross and submitting to him. And one good thing about the daily dying to Christ is that if you messed up yesterday, well, there's another day for you to die daily to Christ. You know, so if you made some kind of blunder or messed up or sinned or whatever yesterday, what does it say in, I believe it's Lamentations, I believe? The mercies are new every morning.
Yep.
So that opportunity to get things right and die today to Christ opens up the very next morning. A lot of times us Christians, you know, we try to find a wiggle room. You know, we try to wiggle out, you know, pain and discomfort. We don't like it. Not even persecution, but just the whole issue of even pain, discomfort, chastening, sadness, all these different things, we try to wiggle out of it. And we think it's, you know, waiting on the Lord, you know, all these things that we don't like. You know, again, us American Christians, we think it's really just about us just being happy, you know, and just being, you know, satisfied. And it's one word I had, like, you know, just this one word that really came to me. And obviously, to, you know, putting emphasis, you know, but don't dismiss. One of the things that the Lord, I believe, is trying to do, too, is he's testing to see how you act, you know, under pressure, you know,
sure.
Under pressure.
Sure.
You know, with all these things that we deal with in life, you know, each of us, you know, me, you know, Don, Josh, Dallas, Pastor Mike, Matt, who's listening, anyone else who listens, he's testing to see whether or not you're going to go back to your lust, your pride, self-sufficiency, complaining, sight. Are you going to go back to sight when you go under pressure? Or are you going to lean back on him? Are you going to lean back on him and rely on him? And it's not like a testing to see if he's trying to figure it out. Like the Lord's up there, you know, or the Lord's in you, or however directional way you want to put it. The Lord's like trying to figure you out. Now, he already knows that. It's more he's trying to wake you up to your own limitations and trying to make you aware of yourself, you know, just mm-hmm. so you can grow. Again, going back to some of the texts that, you know, Pastor Mike was talking about, discerning your own darkness, you know, discerning yourself and discerning where you're actually at, and not being like, oh, you know, Lord, I'm ready to take on the world and I'm ready to do all this, do this and do that, you know. Again, it's more discerning yourself. So even just coming to the end, again, most of us believers, you know, and again, we talk about this a lot, you know, the American Christians, you know, with our, you know, our passion language and our Christian celebrities, you know, Christian, you know, the Christians, the people we put up on pedestals and stuff, and they pretty much become Christian celebrities within Christianity, Christendom.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times we have that, you know, the prayer for, you know, the prayer for, well, make us bold, you know, make us bold, and, you know, all the passion language and stuff. And a lot of times, again, we think we ask for that, and we think, okay, we're just going to ride off into the sunset. and you know, and I'm kind of, again, stealing a quote from, you know, Pastor Mike again here. You know, we want the miracles of Acts, but we don't want the, you know, the hardships and the persecutions
yeah.
of Acts. You know, there's miracles that in Acts and a lot of supernatural stuff, but there's also, you know, like physical pain in the world that goes along in persecution and endurance. The saints and saints in Acts had to actually endure things. You know, everything we ask from the Lord has its own challenges that come with it. You know, it's not just we get something from the Lord and it's like, okay, everything's going to be peachy. Everything, it seems to me that everything we ask from the Lord has a stewardship and a challenge that comes with it. You know, it's not going to be easy. Even our prayer for miracles and everything and all that, all the things we ask for. So just to, you know, end here, Revelation 2:8, 8 through 11, and I'm actually not going to read the whole passage. If you want to read it on your own time, maybe tonight.
Sure.
I'll just read a Revelation 2:10. Jesus speaking to the persecuted church in Smyrna. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And again, another humbling verse to read there, you know. It's like, Lord, you're going to deliver me out of this. Deliver me out of this, you know, get me out of this painful situation. No, but the Lord is actually telling the church here to that you're going to be tested and to be faithful unto death. And really, even the deliverance here is, you know, is them thought of them being killed, you know, and being to be with the Lord. Again, it's a very sobering verse, and just pass the mic. That's pretty much what I have for this morning.
No, I mean it's you stepped on. it's funny, and it took me years, and I suppose that's because we get pre-programmed with a Western mindset. But all the years I read for boldness, mostly what believers were saying is they were just timid to speak about Jesus. But when the apostles prayed for boldness, they prayed for the ability to speak under of pain of death or imprisonment. And because in the Western society, we've got a westernized sometimes version. That's what that to a lot of people they read that, and you know then the believers too they want to love, so they love those who love them, and they do more of that. But divine love, think about all those qualities you mentioned. They're all got a polar opposite. Meaning, if I say God, give me love, I'm gonna get attacked. If I say God, give me boldness, you're gonna really see that divine quality when sharing cost me, not when right. I'm able to. Right now, we live in a democracy, and you can preach the gospel, but it's, you know what I'm saying, it's going to change eventually for sure, and we're going to, then those qualities, we're going to need them, you know. But I admit, even when I was preaching, dude, early on, you're kind of programmed, you know, meaning, give me victory, the mentality was to never have a trial, much of a trial, and if it came against you, that was Satan that gave you the trial, and you needed to rebuke Satan. But it was kind of silly, because how are you a conqueror without a battle? How right. do you love without being hated? How are you bold when never threatened? That's the bottom line. And we ask for these they're divine qualities, because it's really the Spirit of God. If a man is facing death for his Christianity, only the Spirit of God makes a man face that and still not deny. And when you are hated or attacked, only the Spirit of God will cause you to not attack back. We're very, you know, action reaction and all those qualities. But yeah, no, I mean, I can't really add. I'm just kind of saying it's right on the money what you're saying. But again, like I said, when I was even a young teacher and, you know, I had dealt with the gang kids in the city. So I had been, you know, put against walls and slapped and stuff, but not killed. We had, you know, situations when Tommy was out, he was talking about different, you know, trouble I had gotten in. Not reading my surroundings, but that's it. You know, all these great qualities. And it doesn't mean if you're not faced with hate or something or attack that you don't have boldness. But
right.
What you're saying, there's an awareness that this quality is far greater. And that's why sometimes I've commented when I'm preaching, I said, if we're supposed to love our enemies and bless those who curse us, we can't even love those who love us the right way. We grudge and hold attitudes. And that's... Remember when Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what good is that? What he actually was saying, if you could read that in Greek, meaning it's obvious, it's of no good. It does you no quality if the best your love does is love those who love you. Mm-hmm. That is not love. That you can love those who love you, but what he's saying is the ultimate love doesn't measure in that. Those are not the kind of measurements. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. But there was strife in the church when Jesus resurrected. So yeah, anyway, no. Yeah, no, I mean it's... Right. One thing I would say, though, and a lot of people don't understand, is you go back some years in Lebanon where Christians were wholesale slaughtered right along the Jews. People don't understand the history, and not even getting into other things.
Yeah, yeah.
We're right on the chopping block, and a lot of Christians don't realize actually that the hate works two ways. And that, quite frankly, there's desire to exterminate both. And there always has been. It's not a secret, but you had a mass slaughter in Lebanon. You have lots of slaughters in Africa, Nigeria. And Christians, it's not just, you know, Jews. There's a historical intertwining that the rabid dog goes for both with equal hate. And a lot of people don't realize that, and a lot of westernized believers don't understand the history, nor do they understand how much the pulse works together. So the same people were saying, Gassen, they're going to say it to you as well. And that's where a lot of people are ignorant, because that is so baked into the East. We're not even ready to deal with that. When you get people running around and saying, you know, there's a peaceful, of course there's people in all faiths that have a desire for peace. But what people don't realize is how baked in the hate is to that religion in itself. Because it's politically incorrect, but I guarantee you, even our people, even our special ops understand. They know how baked it is. They don't say it, but it's a heavy thing. So Christians, beware, because history has shown one thing very consistently. Mm-hmm. Both groups are attacked, absolutely, and they will be attacked. And this has always been the case. We're getting into thousands of years. It's no different. And you see the same thing, you know. In fact, even when you see some of these people, whether it was Hamas or Hezbollah, you know, they will call it Zionist, but a lot of times that's I understand what the word means, but it's a buzzword because it means Christians were coming for you. It's the same thing. And we have to sometimes realize how this works and how the hate works if you're willing to look at it. But again, but even saying that, yeah, go ahead and close in prayer.
Yeah.
Even saying
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying. Can you love those who hate you? Can you bless those who curse you?
Yeah.
Can we have a boldness when we're truly threatened? Yeah. I pray for that. Yeah. Amen. It's good, bro.
Yeah. No,
it's
just,
really
just,
good.
Close. Unless anyone else has, you know, feel free to any of our historian buffs about the World War II thing. I can.
Don, I love talking to Don.
Yeah,
that's another conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other message. Right?
Him and Tommy, they're similar to talk to both of them. They're.
Yeah.
I think Don's a better on his retention of history than Tom, but surprisingly, he's smart character. You know what I mean? As far as history goes, he's. Anyway.
Yeah, I can end this here. So, Father God,
Jesus.
We just lift up today, Lord, and Lord, again, even as I was going through this message and writing it up, it was a very sobering and. A humbling message, Lord, and Lord, ultimately we just die to you daily, Lord.
Yes.
That's really what it comes down to, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, help us to crucify the flesh, Lord, again every day, and being obedient to you every day. And Lord, help us, as Pastor Mike was saying, to love those who curse us, Lord.
Yes, God. Yes.
And we just pray for that endurance, Lord. Help us to endure to the end. Lord, again, not even just the persecution, but also just the chaos going in the world, and just living this life can vex, Lord. It can tire us out, Lord. So we just ask that for that strengthening from you, Lord. You know, just lift this all up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, I was thinking that that there's an old term. I don't hear it as much, but people would say, well, that's my cross to bear.
Mm-hmm.
And really the ideology when Jesus talks about it, I mean there's crosses to bear that come up for all believers. Different ones, it's not always the same thing, but sometimes there's an attack to come through victory, and sometimes there's a cross to bear. And there's a difference. And it's really good what you bring up.
Mm-hmm.